This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Joy 94.9, that's Keen and Nothing In My Way. You're on the frequency with Mez and Alex, doing the gay sports special, and we've had a message from Grant, and he says, "Hi, Mez!" and exclamation mark. Does this guy know you, Alex?
No. Why do you say that? Do you think I look like an exclamation mark?
I don't know. I'm not going to comment. Grant says he's like me, and he was quite happy to participate in sports, but was never the sort of the competitive, aggressive type either. He came out at school at the age of 16 and played rugby union for the 3 years prior in the second XV. What's that? That's a sporty term, isn't it?
Second 15, I'm thinking. So does that mean he came out before the 3 years prior? Okay.
And he says all the guys called him gay anyway, so there didn't seem to be much of a problem.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
Now I'm 27 and I'm part of organising the Melbourne gay rugby team. Cool. And he's in it for the social aspect and the fun of running around the field and having a few drinks afterwards outside of the nightclub scene. Now that brings up another important aspect, actually, because it's the nightclub scene, clubbing and everything. Just, you'd think that's sometimes the only way to socialise in the gay world, but yeah, this brings up another alternative.
Absolutely. And, it's great to have a club to go to. I used to go to the volleyball club, Spikers, every Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And now I go to the soccer club, the Melbourne Rovers, twice a week. End of the season this weekend, so having a big end of season party. It's a great chance to meet other people.
Yeah, good healthy social life too. You're all sort of
yeah, a bit too much for me at the age of 42.
But you think you might run off all the alcohol that you consume, sort of thing. More balanced.
Yeah. Well, you can actually, you know, you can run it off, and it'll not last on your body. So it's a good side to it. Absolutely,
running it off instead of dancing it off, or doing both, probably.
Quite possibly, yeah.
So thanks for that, Grant.
Yeah, thanks very much.
He's loving the show tonight. Let's come out and play, he says.
Oh, that's cute. Hey, all right, we're going to hear a bit more from David now. And Grant's mentioning the social aspect. David has a bit more to say about the social aspect. And yeah, playing around in Melbourne's one thing, but when you go to an international sports event, boy, there are a lot more options.
Yes, Alex, you've just shown me your photos and I could see all those options.
Yes, there's some things we can't talk about on air.
No, they're very attractive photos, I must say, even from a lesbian's point of view. Lovely bodies.
Oh, thanks.
And I didn't get to see the girls.
Yes, well, they are athletes, you know.
Well, true. Duh, yeah.
Yeah, I had to follow one of those young men around for an hour.
Oh, so how hard.
Very hard, yes.
And why did you have to do that?
Well, I'm a defender and he was an attacker.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. And so the ball just sort of flew past while you're just watching the boys.
It has its challenges as well as its benefits, yes. Okay, let's hear from David again.
Same.
Yep.
And how has been your experience of physically, you know, with your body? Is pain your friend?
Well, most pain is something you get over. Stiffness, cramps, you stretch and you live with it. And it's almost welcome. I know what it is. I know that it's contributing to strengthening the muscles. Then there's, of course, the pain which means stop. And I've only had that once. I've been quite lucky with a knee injury, which happened playing a team sport, in fact. And the recovery took a long time, but I think I'm back there. It was a cartilage problem, and it's mostly gone now.
I personally had an experience where an injury in my knee made me stop sport for many years, and it was silly that I didn't get it treated better, but I just assumed that was a weakness that, you know, wasn't going to go away.
And yet you're back.
I am.
You're back too. No, I mean, a lot of people take knee injuries as the final curtain, but they don't have to be. No way. And I see people who compete at different levels here at the games, and some are really trying to win. Some don't care. They're really into participation, and it makes for a great spread.
And how about you? You are a winner. Are you a very competitive guy?
Yeah, I want the medals. I confess. It's a weakness.
So if I asked you about your weaknesses, would you tell me?
Weaknesses? Well, I have a real weakness for Asian boys. That's for sure. And I met one here for the second time. I met him for the first time at the finish line of a 2006 race, and we got on really well. And for the second time, I met him at registration here after 3 years, and it was like meeting a long-lost brother, and we've been rather inseparable since. I loved the evening at Pride Square where we were dancing, and the young Danes were coming up to us and asking questions whether we knew each other for a long time. I didn't know how to answer that because I did know him. I have known him for 3 years, but then again, we've only made it happen for 2 days. But and then there was a woman who was behind one of the booths who was giving us free condoms and telling us to fill them with our sperm in each other. Go for it, boys. You're beautiful.
Oh, that is beautiful.
First love. That's what I feel like I'm living with this guy.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, you've won medals in your age category. Do you want to tell us what's your secret to longevity in sport? The mind may be willing for some people, but they say that the body isn't. How could people who have that feeling overcome it? Because it's certainly something that I've experienced from time to time.
Yeah, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? It's a biblical principle. A lot of people tell me I have good genes. I don't know. I think I just continue. The worst thing to do in sports is to stop. Although some people do, they stop and they start again. But if they start again, they'll be starting at a lower level and they probably won't bring it back. It's the same thing with excess weight. It's really hard to lose a big belly. It can be done, but the best way is not to put it on in the first place.
And are you feeling any weaknesses around the place? Is there something you're worried about?
No, actually, although I'm a bit concerned about my times, because when I watch those 18 to 29-year-olds, I just can't go around a track that fast, and I suppose I could before, so it's imperceptible differences. But when I go all out, I still feel like I did at that age. The results aren't there, though.
And how about the organized activities at the games? Have you been participating in workshops or the cultural activities or some of the other more spontaneous activities around the place?
It's a big disappointment for me not to be able to do the Human Rights Conference at the same time, because it's happening at the same time. In Montreal in 2006, that wasn't the case. They held one and then the other. I don't think they should separate mind and body the way the Lord Mayor of Copenhagen said it is being done here. And also, my sports are sometimes in the different ends of the city. However, the subway system's really good, and they've given us a free pass during the whole time, which is good as well. As for the daily parties, well, I really wanted to go to the Sailor Splash party on Monday night, but I forgot my sailor suit at home, and I had a race the next morning at 9:30 as well. So it's really hard to, and very frustrating not to. It's hard to participate in everything. Frustrating not to be able to. Because if you do the parties and you compete, well, it's not very compatible.
Well, hey,
I do know some of the sports people who have gone to some of these parties, the fetish party, and they do different things. The hot nude yoga. There's a workshop, and so I get a lot out of just listening to other people's stories. It's kind of living by what's the word for it? Vindication. But you can't be physically everywhere. No.
Absolutely. Well, you are an inspiring person, and it's great to hear how you've lived your life.
Thanks. Well, if I'm inspiring, it's because I keep meeting inspiring people. It rubs off.
enough of rubbing. Thank you, David Tassiam, very much for speaking to us on Joy.
All right.
Do it with Joy.
Right, if anyone's getting a bit low energy there, I think that's brought them back up to speed for the second half of the show.
Just turned it up a notch there.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to go to something completely different. There was 110 human rights workshops at the Out Games in Copenhagen. And whether or not you're taking part in that, or it was just because there was 7,000 gay people in the city, as well as all the Copenhageners, mm-hmm. who are they called it Open Gagen during the games.
Open Gagen.
It's such an amazingly accepting place. You know, people walk hand in hand down the street, no problem in Copenhagen. But human rights just sort of comes up to the surface because you feel so happy and you know, joyful, you know, as part of the event and seeing all the bunting and everything mm-hmm. everywhere. And next we're going to talk to Sumit Bodde. He was one of the delegates at the Human Rights Conference, but also ran in the marathon. And we've talked to Europeans, Aussies and North Americans so far, but now we're going to hear from a proud Indian. He is a member of Delhi Front Runners Running Club. He finished his first ever marathon running all the way, which is an achievement in itself, collected an age category medal, and it capped off an amazing year in which Sumit was involved in helping deliver the landmark ruling against Delhi's sodomy laws. He combined involvements in the rights conference with his running. I caught up with him in Pride Square with Europop blaring in the background, so apologies about the sound quality mess and anyone listening on this recording, but I did want to include it as he's able to tell us exactly what happened in India recently and what it means.
I am absolutely delighted to be here. It is such an atmosphere and so proud to be here.
Yeah, and you've got even more reason to be proud because of all the changes in your country recently.
Well, there has been such a big change with the Delhi High Court reading down Section 377, decriminalizing consensual private sex. It just means so much for the community which has been struggling for it for 8 years now. The case was filed in 2001, and now to have the judgment in 2009, it is such a measure of victory.
So, is this a celebration for you coming to the Out Games?
Well, it is a celebration because just when the judgment came out, it meant so much work. It was victory, yes. There was a lot of euphoria. But it also meant talking to the media and being an advocate in talking about the issues and also confronting some of the opposition. So, this has been a very, very welcome break from a whole lot of work which had been around the judgment. And it's just great to be here with a lot of celebration and pride.
Well, my heartfelt congratulations to you for that and also for the silver medal which you've won in the marathon. Tell me about it.
Well, this is the first marathon I ran and I wasn't sure if I'll be able to complete it. I did, and I did it running. So I didn't have to stop, I didn't have to walk. But I have to say that I did it at a very slow pace. And the time isn't terribly, terribly fantastic. I could have done it in a shorter time. But I'm just very glad that I finished it running. And the medal is, the secret behind the medal is that in my age category, there were only two participants. So I got a silver medal. But as a medal that I'm very proud of because I didn't give up. I could, there were thoughts that I had during running the marathon that, okay, this is enough and I should stop, but I just kept going. So this medal is that I kept going and I didn't give up.
Well done, absolutely. Hey, no, but I think your age category should be about 25 to 30, is that right?
30 to 34.
Well, no, good job. Your achievement in getting the changes to legislation in India will give so much inspiration.
Yeah, well, it's just really great. Like I said, it's been years and years of effort, not just on my part, on the part of many, many, many people who have been involved. Most of all, I would say community, because I think this whole litigation had been a public interest litigation filed on behalf of NGOs. and it was great to have people who were swearing in affidavits testifying to human rights violations. And I think those are really key to bringing to the attention of the High Court that, yes, there are individuals whose rights are violated, and these are human rights violations that need to be taken seriously, not only in the abstract of a public interest litigation, not only in the abstract of an NGO filing the case, but in the context of individual human rights violations. And I think eventually, and most of all, it's a victory for community. It's a victory for every individual who had the courage to file their affidavit and come to the court and say that, yes, I am gay, I am lesbian, I am bisexual, I am transgender, I am Hijra, I am Koti. And here are my human rights violations, and I want you to give me justice.
Yeah. And what's the next stage? Obviously, you must have a lot of publicity in India for what's happened. Do you think this is going to bring many poor people out into the community that are going to come out now with the more confidence?
Well, for now, I think the next stage is to talk more about the judgment. The judgment is a very, very good one. It respects human rights. It needs to be taken to the community. It needs to be taken to the stakeholders. Most of all, it needs to be taken to people who violate human rights, to the police, to various stakeholders who need to know about this judgment. A lot of immediate work needs to be just information about this judgment, letting people know. At the moment, there are some confusions within the community. What does this judgment do? Some people have felt really very strong and encouraged to get married, which is great for them, but the judgment is about decriminalization. It's about basic human rights being violated. And I think issues of marriage, etc., are all relevant. But at the moment, there needs to be greater communication. There needs to be more people who know about the judgment and can implement it. It's great to have a judgment as this. It's a bigger task to implement it.
For me, it has implications in India, also in other Asian countries where there hasn't been movement. And because India is so large, it has an impact on other Asian countries. And also even in Western and countries like Australia, where we are fighting a bit further ahead, but we're still fighting for human rights. So I think it's a fantastic thing that's happened.
It is. I agree with that, because one of the rhetoric is that LGBT human rights, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender human rights, are a Western discourse. And to have this judgment coming from India, a developing country, a country from Global South, it just gives a boost to a lot of activists working in Global South to refer to a judgment in India. While I think there is a lot of credibility in judgments from North America, in judgments from Europe, in judgments from Australia, it is all great and it gives a lot of strength to the arguments. But politically, it is great to have this judgment coming from India, because India in the subcontinent, South Asia, Southeast Asia, has a special space culturally. And it will be great to see if other countries in the region are able to understand LGBT human rights in their local context.
Yes.
And undo the rhetoric that LGBT human rights are a Western phenomenon.
One thing our countries have in common is the British colonial backlog of law. And now you're able to overcome that. It's very inspiring.
Yes. And I think, speaking of British colonialism, a larger part of the world that has sodomy laws, criminalization of sodomy, are former British colonies.
Yes.
As many as 40 countries out of the Commonwealth, 40 out of 53 is more than 70%. So as many as 70% of the Commonwealth has criminalization of sodomy.
Yes.
And I think the former empire needs to take cognizance and greater responsibility of the past. And I would draw an analogy with multinational corporations throwing toxic waste and being held responsible for it. A former empire like the British Empire, which had these laws, are like toxic waste, which they dropped everywhere that there was empire. It's like a big elephant moving around and dropping big piles of shit. So there is some responsibility on the part of the former empire, which now exists by way of Commonwealth, to clear that shit. Because a lot of people living in these Commonwealth countries are having to face consequences, very, very sad consequences.
Yes. Well, with Relax, let's do it. I think we'll close the interview. Thank you so much, Sumit, for taking the time to talk to us on Joy.
Thank you very much. Thanks. It's been great talking to you.
Joy 94.9, you're on the frequency with Mez and Alex doing the gay sports special.
You certainly are. Now, a human rights fight, Mez, much closer to home is the fight for marriage equality. And I met with someone in Copenhagen who's a good insight into what equal love really means. Up next is Jenny. And Jenny is an Aussie expat living in Sweden. Mm-hmm. She's married to a Swedish table tennis World Outgames gold medalist. And we met on the Pride March. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
How are you going?
I'm going really good.
Yeah. Now, you've got an Aussie flag, but you marched in the opening ceremony with Sweden, and you competed in what?
I competed in ballroom dancing.
Yeah, and how'd you go?
We danced like crap, but it was good fun anyway.
But there is a medal coming into your family. How's that?
Well, my wife is Swedish, and she took a medal in the table tennis.
Oh, yeah. Is she a big table tennis player?
Well, they ended up starting playing table tennis because it was all the wives of the people that were dancing. So that's how they started playing table tennis.
Fantastic. Hey, today back home is the Equal Love Parade. And we don't have the right to get married in Australia. But you're married. How did that work out?
It's good. We've actually had partnership for quite a while in Sweden. But we've actually just recently, on the 1st of May, we've been able to get married now. So... yeah, now we're actually counted as being married, which is great.
How does it feel? I mean, it's something that you couldn't do if you were back home in Australia.
Well, that's one of the reasons that we're living here. We would like to probably live one day in Australia, but we don't feel like going back and losing our rights.
What's the feeling of being married in a same-sex relationship?
Feels good. I mean, now that we've just had it changed on the 1st of May, now when we apply for jobs and stuff, like where we get official documents, it won't say partnership, it'll say marriage. So people can't discriminate just on the basis of, you know, like what it says on a piece of paper.
Yeah. So there's real equal love in Sweden now, do you reckon?
Oh, well, we've still got a while to go. There's still, you know, adoption laws and things like that. They still haven't caught up. You can get adopt, or you can be... you can actually become an adoptive couple, but no Swedish couples have actually got any children because they don't have, well, you know, there's no Swedish children available, and there's no, I mean, like China and Thailand and things like that Sweden have an association with, they don't allow homosexual couples to adopt. So in those sort of things, there's still not equal rights, but it's getting better, you know, when it comes to like you know, insemination and things like that, but we still don't have really equal rights in those things yet.
Yeah. Is there any message you'd like to give to people back in Australia?
Come to the Out Games, it's great. Yeah, everybody should get involved. The participation is fantastic and it's good fun.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Jenny.
Thank you.
Joy 94.9, totally bent.
You're back in the Frequency Gay Sports Special with Alex and Mez. Mez, we've heard from three of the biggest sports in gay sports so far. And now we're going on to team sports.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to start with football, and we're going to Mexico for our next continent. Andoni Bejo from the Mexican football team, Trigay, says he expects his team will inspire people back home and contribute to fighting homophobia. He also explains how 10 years ago he started to try to combine his two favourite things, which were soccer and boys, when he was still at his high school. On Joy 94.9, I'm with Andoni Bejo from Trigay, the gay soccer team in Mexico City. Hi, Andoni, how are you?
Hi, I'm very fine, very happy to be here and at the Out Games to compete here in Denmark, because it was very difficult for us to arrive here. It's very important to us to fight against homophobia there in Mexico, against HIV, and to show the Mexican society then gay people, lesbian people, transgender people have the same rights and have the same force and have the same skills and all and the same value.
Yeah. So by coming to Copenhagen, you can show that to people back home in Mexico.
Yes, our wins and losses will show them that we are here and we are in every aspect of the life, winning or losing, but we are always trying to be successful.
That's fantastic. How did you become involved in gay sport?
I always loved soccer. Since I was a child, I think I was born with a ball at my feet. And I played soccer during my life. And when I realized that I'm gay, I looked for another gays that wanted to play soccer and something like that.
And how many years ago was that?
I made an effort to create a team when I was at high school, around 10 years ago. But it was not so. I was not so lucky in this project.
You mean a gay team at high school?
At high school.
Wow.
So later, some years later, I noticed that there were another team. And I came with them to play, and it was fantastic with it to combine soccer, one of my two most important pleasures, and guys that I like the most. So
Joy 94.9.
Then I were so many years in the other teams that they are called Halcones and Lobos. They are they play in Chapultepec in Mexico City, but they play only amateur, not competitive. And I wanted to come to the international tournaments. I considered that some of them were very, very skilled, very good players. So I had the spirit to come to play with the Mexican team. I was invited to Montreal last out games, and I played with them, and it was fantastic. But I was the only Mexican traveling from Mexico, because there were another Mexicans living there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what would you like to say to other gay people who maybe don't play sports, or they never been to a gay sports tournament? What can they expect if they come here?
If they come to the AD Games or to any international event, they will meet a lot of people, meet a lot of other points of view and other realities. It's quite a great experience.
Yeah, and you love it.
I love it. I love to play soccer. I love to compete with another teams. We always try to defend our country, because we represent them, and to come back to Mexico with success and with some reasons to change the way of life there, because there in Mexico there still are hate crimes because of homophobia. There are
but here in Denmark as well, so you know, it happens everywhere.
It happens everywhere, but there are more common, because society don't consider homophobia as a crime. Maybe there are so few laws that defend our rights. So if we don't show society that we are here and we are vulnerable, they won't see it, and they will remain the conditions that we have.
I'm so pleased to hear you saying that, because I agree with you 100%. Thank you so much for joining us on Joy 94.9.
Thank you so much.
Mez, we're going behind the pink curtain for the next interview. It's a new term to me, but yeah, pink curtain in Europe. There's a big difference between East and West, and Eastern Europe doesn't get represented as much as they'd like. We're going to speak to Peter, the head of the Bulgarian volleyball group at the Games. He's originally from Germany, and he's been to every gay Games since San Francisco. And he established the Schwule Lesbische Gay Volleyball League in Europe, which now has 45 gay teams playing in regular gay competitions, something that would be a bit of a luxury here for us in Australia.
Yeah, certainly would be.
I'm living since 10 years in Bulgaria, and I'm actually a German one. And I was in the German athletics before, and I had a dream to have with people together gay sports, because I saw a lot of gay people around. And I was living in Cologne and met a lot of friends there, and then they catched the idea, and everybody said, "Oh, you are stupid," and something like that. So
why so stupid?
Yeah, gays and sports and something like that, it just never matched together.
Okay. What time? What year are we talking about?
The founded for subscription was the first meet was on 26 November 1979.
That's 30 years ago. Yeah. And here you are at the Out Games in Copenhagen in 2009.
Yeah, I made commercial. I brought people and a team. So in different sports from Bulgaria, there I founded there as well a sport club. There's the only one on the whole Balkan. So there in Romania, Athens, Macedonia, Yugoslavia, or something like that. There's no existing. So the closest one from us is over the Adria, Rome. Or the next one in Ljubljana, yeah. So what is close to Austria, but it's around then close to 800 kilometers far away.
I heard people talking about a pink curtain, and there's fewer teams from Eastern Europe. Is there such a thing? Or
yeah, in Eastern Europe, the main reason is a money problem. So you know, you have to know the average income. In Bulgaria, that's one of the poorest in Europe. That is the average from 300 euro in a month. So this just catch or just the flight expenses, and then you have to live here for 10 days. We are here, so
it's expensive even for Australians to come. Even once we've got here with the flight, it's still expensive to live for one night.
Yeah, that's right. It is also for Australian from all of the people who come from far away. It's a very expensive. But I can say also, if you compare this, so the Bulgarians, for example, they spend here around 3-4 months income just for these 10 days. So that's a lot.
So you obviously love it. I think the story of your gay sports story is the story of your life. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm living. The gay sport is really my blood. Everything. So I 1986. I was just accidentally at the same time when the second gay games in San Francisco. I was there and a spectator, and the Janos Cologne was still existing at this time. And I came back, so I was a president of the Janos Cologne, where will be next year the gay games. So, and then I supported people that it's a so wonderful, wonderful thing to meet so many people from somewhere. And brought in 1990, so around 50 people from Frankfurt and Cologne and Bonn, and some from Berlin to Vancouver. So that was the first delegation to the gay games.
See, you're teaching me my history, because my knowledge goes back to 2002, and we heard the legends of people going to Amsterdam in 1998 who inspired us to go to Sydney. So it's really a history lesson talking to you.
Yeah, and then from that was also a big moment, because all the people came back. So this around 50 people came back to Germany, and then it started a lot of sport clubs showing up everywhere, and they brought the idea, the spirit of the gay games to make sport with the other friends, and they met a lot of friends, with this start really from 1990, really the big thing in Europe. So that was a big experience because 94, when we got then to New York, there were around, just from Cologne, there came around 150 people. So it's really amazing, you know. And so the world games and something like that were very brilliant. And the other things I can say, so 3 years before in Montreal for the first out games, I can say that I brought also a lot of Bulgarians there. So we won a medal in volleyball, a gold medal, and it brought also the spirit then now to the Balkan, to Bulgaria, and from then on it also pushed our sport club up. So to have to be a part of a big event, of the world event, give a lot of people good feeling to participate and come with the idea back and say, hey, you have to, it's so great, there are so many people everywhere in the world, we are not alone, we are not only some. So that's it.
You know, that's my feeling when I go back to Melbourne. I have to talk to all my teammates in our gay soccer club and get them to come and have the experience I've had because I've had such a ball. Can you tell me some highlights of the last 30 years, the things that really stand out in your mind as being the most wonderful experiences?
Oh, I think the most one of the big issue was maybe that we founded after the Vancouver. It was great. So we founded an official gay volleyball league in Germany.
Wow.
So and they participate. And now it's not only Germany. So it's there's also Netherlands, Belgium, France, and Austria, Switzerland, and Czech and Poland are in created. And the winners, so we put the levels, and the winners goes also have friendships with winners of the hetero league, volleyball league in Germany. Okay. So that's I think that's a really...
Gay and Lesbian Radio for Melbourne, Joy 94.9.
Okay, we have to cut Peter off there, unfortunately. Now, Mez, we're at the close of the show.
Yes, it's gone so quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've had a lot of people on this show.
Yeah, and I felt like I've had my exercise for this week, listening to this lot of athletes. Does that work out calories?
It does, but it's no fun to exercise by yourself. Are you going to take up a gay sport, my dear?
Can you suggest something for me?
Well, absolutely can. It's no fun if you're not working towards something, and you could work towards the Asia Pacific Out Games coming soon to a city near you, only 4 hours away in Wellington.
In Wellington. Mm. So next year after.
2011, but early in the year.
Ah, that gives me plenty of practice time.
So to hear what Hamish Allardyce is planning for us all in New Zealand, let's say goodbye and thanks for listening, and see what the options are in New Zealand.
Have a good night.
Okay, we're back with Hamish now. What have you got planned for us all in Wellington, New Zealand in 2011?
Well, we thought we'd get the old crew back together, really. Those who haven't abandoned us and moved to Australia, and we thought we'd just put on a bit of an event, get some sports. We've got some conferences lined up, and give a cultural festival, and give people a reason to come home and visit New Zealand, or to visit if you've never been there before. It'll be something different, of course, because it's New Zealand, but, I mean, essentially we just want to make it so that people can get together and have a good time and learn from each other.
So 18 months out, what sports have you got in the pipeline?
So sports we've got confirmed. Dance sport, of course. Really romantic, stunning, inspirational. See love on the dance floor. Fast pitch softball, running, swimming. Nothing like seeing all those boys and girls around the swimming pool, where you can always hang out in the showers if you get really bored. Tennis, volleyball, bridge, golf. Soccer or football, whatever you call it, netball.
Excuse me, you have a problem with football? Hey, carry on.
Well, football, soccer, it depends really what you want to call it. And then of course you've got 10-pin bowling, and I think hockey's getting a pretty strong showing at the moment. Even had some call for dance, diving as well.
Oh yeah, please include the diving. Can I put in a special request? And what else will be involved in the festivities?
So we've got five conferences that we're looking at the moment. One is, of course, looking at 25 years since law reform in New Zealand, which is pretty amazing. So 25 years since law reform. And then we've got Pacific Island AIDS Symposium, Transgender Community, Youth Conference, and Indigenous Peoples Conferences.
Fantastic. And you've got a big opening ceremony lined up for us.
Yeah, the opening ceremony will be at Te Papa at the National Museum in the Te Marae. So it'll be a pōwhiri, a proper traditional Māori welcome, and then go from there. Yeah, party on.
I can't wait for it.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.